Balcony's first ever year-round bourbon was an inspiration. It all had to work together. A blend of carefully selected ingredients, Texas-sized pot stills, and creative people determined to find the absolute best way to usher a new whiskey along. When you discover how it pairs with a meaningful moment, suddenly the feeling of drinking great whiskey becomes a whole lot more.
Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart, and I am in a fantastic, well-energized mood. I got a fresh haircut, a nice shave, shout out to Lou's Barbershop in Clear Lake. Mary, you're my main woman. Is that what you say? Main woman? Okay, we'll just say I'm a cool guy. I'll say that. So before we get into this, I want to address something. Yeah, I've always wanted to write something, but I'm not a writer. But I can talk, you know, I do that for a living at times. I want to talk about Buffalo Trace for a second. Any big corporate company tends to be more specific, more particular about how things are presented. They don't want to offend this person or offend that person. And recently, Buffalo Trace has started sponsoring podcasts like Joe Rogan, The Whiskey Ginger with Andrew Santino, a couple other podcasts where this brand, who doesn't need to promote, has started promoting, and on top of promoting, they have removed any kind of uptight, really restrictive persona. In fact, in the reads of those two podcasts, Buffalo Trace put in the read the only bourbon with balls. You can see it right on the label, because there's a picture of a buffalo on the label, and it's a male buffalo. To me, that blows my mind that we're finally in an era where people can relax a little bit. And it's always happened with, you know, smaller brands. Some smaller brands don't care. But it makes me happy. And today, just before I came in, on Twitter, you guys remember Talladega Nights? Ricky Bobby says, you know, if you don't chew red gum, then F you. And on the official Buffalo Trace Twitter, they said, if you don't drink Buffalo Trace, then F you. I thought it was amazing. Fred Minnick's response was, what? People were offended. Some people were upset. But it was lighthearted in nature. And listen, we don't need to be in this era of holding each other's hands. What I would say in my own home, or what I would say to friends in person, you should be able to say, there's a reason why there's HBO and there's NBC or CBS, right? If I want to watch something, some of the best television shows of this era, they're not on NBC or CBS. They're on Showtime. They're on HBO. Some of the greatest uncensored, raw, violent. It's we're adults. So I'm rambling. I'm super excited to see a really, really big brand take a very, very relaxed approach. So Where are we? Today's episode, I'm so excited to sit down with Jack Ferris from Bushmills. Bushmills is the oldest licensed distillery in the world, 1608, I believe. They're on the back of the euro. They're on the back of their money in Ireland. I've talked about Bushmills on the show. They're one of the few Irish distilleries I've always loved, and we can't talk about it with Jack. Jack Ferris. So I'm going to tell you now. I did talk to him about Conor McGregor, a certain MMA fighter's whiskey that we've speculated has been from Bushmills. It is a joint venture that is done with them that they're not allowed to comment on. So obviously that brand needs to handle their PR their way. Bushmills is worried about Bushmills. I will say this. I am a fan of Bushmills, and I am not a fan of other brands. All right, let's get to our sponsors. This week's show is, as always, sponsored by Chilado Distill Artisan Spirits, leader in premium artisan products like Bunahaven, Deanston, Lecheg, Tobermory, Baines, Black Bottle, and Scottish Leader. You can pick up the entire line at your local liquor store, or if you are a retailer, reach out to your United Wine and Spirits rep. Whiskey Neat is supported by the Inspired Spirits at Glass Rev Imports and Amroot Distilleries. We love featuring Amroot whiskeys on the show. Amroot crafts single malt whiskey to the exacting standards of Scotch, and if you need proof, well, at this year's Proof Awards, God, I just got a whiff from the glass. Emirate Fusion received double gold, 96 points, and a blind tasting by 30 industry judges. Emirate appreciates the great state of Texas and has become the number one consumer of this elixir of life, which is what the word Emirate means in America. And I'm telling you, man, if you are a peat fan, Emirate Fusion is goddamn fire. I love it. The next couple episodes will be featuring a lot from Murray McDavid. I'm excited to get these bottles in, including a 13-year-old, a 36-year-old. There's a couple bottlings of these that just came in that I cannot wait to talk about and taste. So we will feature those on the upcoming episodes. But in the meantime, without further ado, Jack Ferris, Jeff Rogers from Proximo, and I believe we have another guest. I'll wait till he comes in. Cheers. We've got a long storied history leading up to this point, starting with you. I remember running into you. I think you were at either the first or the second Whiskey Social. You were working at the Stranahan.
That's correct.
For Proximo, right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
And then I met Jeff through Jay Friedman. He introduced me to you.
There's a shout-out for you.
Yeah, and it's been this transition. And then recently, can I be honest?
Mm-hmm.
Not as great of a meeting. You want to know why?
Go on.
Because you promised us last Wednesday.
Here we go.
You promised us during the World Series that since you've been in town,
nice.
We haven't lost a game. And the one night you open your mouth,
I was getting nervous.
Show's over.
Yep.
Show's over.
So can we just cut all this out?
We can. Yeah, absolutely.
Show's over.
Very nice meeting you. Hey, yes, it's been.
Take you to the woodshed.
There you go.
I am
That's
a fan.
Funny.
I am a fan. But I had to mention it.
Well done.
We did a show with. Who did we do last week? Oh, the Come and Take It Comedy Festival. There's a big comedy event happening in town this weekend, and recording was done the last game before the last game. So
I'll be darned. Yeah,
the guy on was like, "When we win tonight," and I was like, "My God, dang it! Like, you got to open your mouth." I don't know if you're superstitious in Ireland, but a lot of us are pretty particular with how superstition works here in the U.S.
Especially with baseball. Baseball is the most superstitious, I think, of all. We had to watch every game on my patio, to be quite honest with you.
So we get to blame Jack for the rest of the
year. We get to blame Jack.
Blame Jack.
Hey, listen, if there's anything we're good at
next year, you're not coming in.
If there's anything we're good at, it's blaming foreigners.
That is true.
It was a good run up until then.
Yeah.
I mean, those three games after it came into town. Great games, and you have to admit the last game, nail biting.
So, it was rough, but we had a great time. We had this fantastic dinner. I don't get to go to Armadillo Palace often. Is that what it's called, Armadillo
That's
Palace?
Right. Yeah, yeah. Correct.
But we had cool, you guys made a real Irish coffee, and I had three of them. They were the
nice.
Best part of the night.
That's
for
good.
Me. I'm a huge fan of coffee and scotch, scotch single malt. So together, it was just like some nice way to end. And then of course the night was ruined, but. That's something else altogether. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad to talk. I've talked about Bushmills before on the show. I don't think Irish gets enough credit nowadays. Everyone's talking about scotch, and then now everything's all about bourbon. And to be honest with you, I think bourbon can be a bit boring at times. But I'm such a huge supporter of Irish whiskey, and you guys have been doing it for a little bit. How long have you guys been doing it?
Well, with a license, 411 years. But, you know, on our site, we've had almost 1,000 years of distillation history. So, you know, a little bit of experience.
A little bit of time. You guys are the oldest, right?
We are the world's oldest licensed. So we had that license signed back on the 20th of April, 1608, by King James I. So, and we've always occupied the same site. So that license was signed to the area of the route. And we're still in the area of the route. That's right up in the north coast of Ireland, so in County Antrim. So we're only 1 mile from the North Atlantic Ocean.
And one thing I learned that night was that you guys are actually, in America, we're big about putting politicians on money. One great reason why Ireland is better than us is you have a distillery on the back of your money.
Yeah, and that's in every denomination. So as I say, what I brought here, we've got 5 and a 10. We've also got new editions that are only printed just back in April. And the back of every single note we have printed by the Bank of Ireland, Bushmills Whiskey Distillery is printed on every single note. So whenever the Bank of Ireland dictates we're more important than any politician, any person, that gives you an idea just how important Bushmills actually is. I mean, we're not just a brand. Bushmills is a place. It is a village. I mean, even the name Bushmills comes from where we are. It's on the River Bush And then the first industry was the milling of the barley. So Bushmills is something very, very important, something very, very special. So it's much more than just a brand, much more than just a whiskey, much more than just a distillery. It is something that is ingrained in our blood. I mean, I was only born and raised 5 miles from that distillery. So it is something I'm phenomenally proud about. And the fact I'm sitting here in Houston on a damn hot day, which you can tell in my Irish
winter time,
not used to this level of humidity, this level of heat. I mean, it's great.
Level of anything, really. Yeah. Traffic. all of it's horrible.
So, yeah, it's nice. And again, it's the fact that I get to travel around America and I get to tell this story. And this story that I've been born and raised with, I mean, grown up with. I mean, I remember in primary school, we were taking on tours around that distillery. So ever since I've been tiny, that distillery's always been a part of me. So, again, it's something...
You know, it's as Americans, the closest sense of pride that I had Ancestry.com done back in 2011. And just besides the fact that I look like I'm from Ireland with the red beard, but just getting that confirmation, There's this sense of swelling. Of course, on St. Paddy's Day, we're all Irish, but it's something that I'm proud of. And then when I get someone like you on, I'm like, oh, I'm nothing. I'm garbage. like your voice, spillage. Everything about you is deeply enrooted in hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of history there on site. So I had a tremendous time having dinner the other night. Or the tasting, and then we had some. One thing I learned was that Bushmills goes great with fried oysters, so that was a fantastic night. But it was a great learning experience, and for a brand that I've already enjoyed, it's something that I felt like I got a little more out of. So one thing we like to do on the show is we like to drink. So let's jump in. Where would you say we can start? You could tell us a little bit about your core lineups and then maybe get to the little funky weird stuff and kind of inform the listeners.
Yeah, definitely. Sure. So basically what I think we should start off with, since I am in Houston, let's have a whiskey that's made for just the American palate. And that'll be our Red Bush. So a Red Bush is going to be a four-year-old whiskey.
No jokes.
Blended whiskey. And that's only going to be 4 years inside first fill American bourbon barrels. So because of that, what you're going to get is all these sweet bourbon influences. But remember, it's our whiskey. We've matured it. We've distilled it. It comes from our very site.
I can't reach.
So basically, this is designed for that sweeter American bourbon palate. But everything we have is at 80 proof. Everything we have is triple distilled. It's all chill filtered.
I've never gotten that amount of pear on a whiskey before. There's a great distillery out of Louisville called Copper and Kings that they do a pear brandy that I have lauded. I'm such a huge fan of. That Red Bush, right off the palate, is those fresh stone fruits or fruits that have seed in the middle, right? Are pears stone fruits?
It's more seeded fruit. Sure. But the pear, basically, that is our raw distillate. Our raw distillate, so the copper we've just over there, and it is a bit of our copper pot still. Whenever you're in our still house, it's peaches, it's pear drops, it's a little bit of red apple. It's just that sweet, ripe fruit, and that's the distillate.
That's 100% pear. I mean, if you had told me that was a brandy, I'd be almost convinced, blind. That is fantastic.
And again, in the background, then you get the vanilla, you get a little bit of the oakiness. But then you get the dryness, and the best thing with the dryness is that unlike traditional bourbon, where that dryness means a bite, well, there's no bite, there's no burn. You're ready for that next sip.
Slides down.
So works out perfectly. Designed, again, for the American palate. Designed to be a little bit sweeter.
Oh, we love our sugar.
We do.
That's for sure.
Unfortunately. I know.
So,
this is guys. This is for your pastels.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. Lead you to the cheers, my man. Yeah.
We've got six more to go, so we're good to go.
Well, at least six.
Right. Taking the shuttle, Ubering.
So this is actually from your pot still?
This is from one of our decommissioned pot stills.
That's a bit thin.
Well, they do wear down, so that would have been at least double the thickness. So that was usually a still lasts between anywhere between 20, sometimes up to 40 years. It just depends what part of the still it's from, and it depends what part of the still house it's coming from. So every year we do what we call a silent season, a cold shutdown, and we measure the inside of the still. Now, we do the old school technique. You take a piece of string, you go inside, you measure it, and if that string's got a little bit longer, well, you know, the still's got a little bit thinner. I mean, there's no need to do any modern way to do this.
Sure.
That technique has lasted us 411 years. we don't need to change that method.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty simple.
So whenever we noticed the string was getting long enough, we realized it was probably about this thickness. That was time to get that still replaced. So, but again, that is the real deal. Everything we would will be drinking right now has passed through that piece of metal. So again, it is the real deal.
How many stills do you guys have?
We've got 10 stills. We've got 4 wash stills, 3 low wine stills, and we've then got 3 spirit stills. We're at full capacity. We're producing 5 million litres of spirit every single year. But Bushmills, like all Irish whiskey, is going through a growth right now. And we're actually building a mirror still house. You know, an exact mirror image of exactly how we're producing whiskey right now.
So you're trying to double capacity?
We are doubling capacity. We've also acquired new land. So we've used up all 63 acres of our site. We've got over 18 warehouses. And we'll be building a further 22 over the next roughly between 10 to 20 years. So Irish whiskey is growing, and Bushmills with that is growing. And the best thing is that lately we've been able to show the world, particularly being able to show America, what we are capable of. Again, that whiskey tasting that we met at last week.
Yeah.
Well, we brought out a few little surprises.
You brought 3 fantastic surprises. I've never been a proponent that older is always better. In fact, I mean, there's some fun things. Like we partnered with Lincantata and we got in some 45-year-old Armagnac. That was a fun experience, but it didn't objectively taste good. It was way past its prime.
Yep.
But the 27-year-old... Are you flagging me now? Oh, no. I think it was a 27-year-old cognac cask?
27-year-old cognac.
It was bloody brilliant, man. It was fantastic.
106 proof cask.
That one.
And chill filter.
That was the last one.
But can I get a little more of that, please?
The crystal malt was fantastic, too. It was, so you get, in bourbon, you're very, very familiar with brown sugar notes. Maple syrup, treacle, that kind of molasses type brown sugar notes. The crystal malt to me reminded me exactly of fresh white sugar. Like it was like this bright kind of a sweet, almost like you know when you make rum with rum agricole, you use fresh cane juice. So it had like this fresh, really just bright sugar notes to it. The whole thing was just such a fun side of Bushmills I've never seen before. And I was like, oh, you guys have to come on next week. So as soon as we got you back, I was like, we've got to sit down. So it was fantastic.
Yeah. And again, it's just to show the world what we are capable of. And it's also just showing Bushmills is, you know, bringing out new things, bringing out new expressions. And we do have the largest stock of aged single malt anywhere in Ireland. And suddenly these warehouses, these crypts that were sealed off that no one is able to see, well, those doors are starting to open up right now.
Sure.
So just keep your eyes on Bushmills because bigger and better things are coming along.
What's do we have a peek as to what's coming to the U.S. anytime soon, even in an LTO capacity?
So for any of the listeners that have visited Bushmills Distillery, particularly within the last 12 months, we do have a distillery exclusive, only kept within the confines of the distillery. We only did a 12,000 bottle release, but that was a 10-year single malt finished inside acacia wood.
Now, interesting.
The Irish Whiskey Act of 1980 just said essentially a wooden cask. So we
didn't say what kind.
Mm-hmm, so not white oak. So we were able to bring out and finish something within acacia wood. Now that gives you an idea of just what we are capable of.
I remember when this came out because the Snickers were quite prevalent. I'm a huge fan of anything sherry finished. But is this sherry finished, sherry mature? Tell me about Black Bush.
So Black Bush is going to be an 8-year-old whiskey. It's going to be 80% single malt.
8-year-old, wow.
And it's going to be 80% Oloroso sherry cask. And that's not a finish. That's the full minimum mature. 8 years inside Oloroso sherry. So Oloroso sherry is inherently very dry, very nutty. But again, our distillate, as you found with the Red Bush, it is ripe fruit. Now, with that marriage of the two between, it's Christmas cake, it's fruit cake.
I'm getting a little bit of pear on the initial, right as I go to pour in, and then I'm getting a ton of those dried fruits, the cherry influence. Very, very much a fan of the Black Bush.
So yeah, Black Bush is essentially what a lot of people, in particular master blender, Helle Mulholland, she calls it our lovable rogue. Now the best thing about Black Bush is you can take as long as you want with it, because that finish, you just notice it just lingers and glows. Now, if it ever does get cold here in Houston, which, you know, people have told me
it's
does.
Cold it's cold outside right now.
It's freezing outside. Oh, there's we've had a pretty cold year. There's been at least 4 hours of cold in Houston this whole year.
In a row, too.
We've got a cold front coming.
But, as the weather gets a little bit colder, if the wind comes in, that blackbush, that long lingering finish, that gentle glow that comes in, because you just notice it comes in the jawline, lingers in the throat.
Yeah,
it's just a whiskey you take your time with.
And how old is it? You said
so. 8 years old.
8 years old.
8 years old. 80% single malt, and 80% single malt for any blended whiskey from around the world is almost unheard of. So
the rule of eights.
It is something very, very special. This is a whiskey that has never changed since 1898.
What's the price point on the Blackbush?
So the Blackbush would be roughly in around about
$28.99, less than $30.
Less than $30 for 8-year-old Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see, going back to the ridiculousness of bourbon right now, there's a celebrity bourbon that's coming out that's 2 years for $150. So for 8 years, sub 30, he's a hockey guy, Belfour or something or other.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's some fantastic. I've been a huge supporter of Texas whiskey for a long time, but it's hard to. In this current environment, I'm very much appreciative of just 8 years, sub 30, solid Irish whiskey, fully matured sherry. What is there to complain about?
Yep.
Did you say 150?
Yeah, I think I want to say it's like 130, 140.
There you go.
It's hard. You know, I know I'm a little familiar with how our horrible three-tier system works, but just working backwards, for you guys to put all that time and love into an eight-year Irish – sub 30, you're not making much money off this. I mean, you guys are very much sacrificing profit for love. Like, there's a 30 sub 30 in America is a lot less in Ireland.
well, you have to remember, like, the way Bushmills has been created is that everything
is that yours or mine?
Oh, this is
mine. Yeah. I had two because I had some peated whiskey. This one.
So the thing about Bushmills is that essentially, everyone who's worked in our distillery is a father, a mother, uncle, aunt, sister, cousin.
Well, I think your wood guy is a third
generation. But we're now in the fourth generation of father to son. We've still got Alistair Kane and his son Chris Kane. And thankfully, Chris Kane has actually started having a relationship with one of the girls in the shop.
Yeah, yeah.
So
maybe a fifth generation.
Maybe the fifth generation comes along.
What a pressure. What if his first two are girls? So, you know?
This is the thing about Bushmills. Our master blender, Hel Mulholland, was the first female master blender ever in Irish whiskey history. So it's one of the things with Bushmills that we don't care who you are. If you're fit for the job, you're perfect for the job. So if he is a daughter, even better. So
it's still five generations of the same bloodline.
Exactly.
True.
So, but the big thing about Bushmills, like after work, because Bushmills is a village. If the people who work in the distillery live in the village itself. The village is only about 1,100 people. It's a tiny, tiny place. But once you finish your shift, you go down to the local main street. Well, you can enjoy your Blackbush. You can enjoy your hard day's work.
Is there a employee program? Like Jack Daniels does like a half, every first Friday of the month, there's like a $3.75 that they give employees. Is there a Bushmills?
There's definitely some benefits, some perks, a few nice perks working in the distillery.
Well, this Blackbush is bloody
Lynchburg dry. Yeah, Lynchburg dry, so they have to give it away almost a little bit. Great whiskey, but you know what I mean. Kind Bushmills, they give it to you for teething.
So what's this puppy here?
Sexton. This is going to be something very unique. So the Sexton is going to be a 4-year-old single malt, triple distilled inside copper pot stills. And again, 100% single malt, but we only malt the barley out using hot, clean, fresh air. So the Sexton itself is going to be inside mainly first fill Oloroso sherry casks.
Wow.
We do use a little bit of second and third fill, but using predominantly first fill sherry casks means that sherry influence.
It's going to be dry.
It's going to be very, very distinctive. So the Sexton itself, the name comes from the sextons. They were the last people who looked at you before you were put into the grave. Now, back in the old days of Ireland.
I know. He really got morbid.
What a dark.
Quite dark. But there's also a lighter note to it. So back in Ireland, sometimes if you drunk too much, you'd pass out for maybe a couple of days. So whenever you're in the grave, a bell was tied to a string, which is tied to your finger. The sextons would mine the graves overnight. And if they hear the bell, well, they know to take you back out again. So the sexton is essentially something very, very intringent in the old Irish ways.
Jesus. We landed in Dublin, but we drove to Shannon, stayed there, visited a few. You've got one of the things I love about Ireland is you've got the oldest pubs in Europe are in Ireland. And if you're going to visit Ireland, you got to visit castles, you got to visit churches, you got to visit some ruins, and you got to visit the pubs, right? So we stopped at Sean's Bar in Athlone, which has been around since 900 AD. It's 1,100 years of that building being there. And then we went all the way to Shannon, just south of Shannon, what's just south of Shannon, but north of the Kerry.
You're in the Cork area.
Correct. We were near Cork. So we stopped in. When we got to the airport, I had almost a panic attack because not only is it the first time I'm driving on this side of the road, but also the roads are this wide.
Pretty narrow.
And in Texas, we all have trucks. There's plenty of room, you know. And one person per vehicle. Being in Ireland, it was like I was sweating like you right now. My wife was like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "I'm fine. I'm trying to process the difference in size."
Shifts on the wrong side, everything. Yeah.
And what was the craziest thing about your roads is you'd have tour buses which are full size somehow they still stayed in their lanes, but it doesn't feel like it when you come around a corner and you see a double-decker tour bus coming around just as fast and everything's in kilometers. So I'm like, what's that? Is that like 50 miles an hour? Like, nice. So I don't understand how anyone could ever have one drink and drive, let alone, you That's know, awesome. It was a great experience and it was one of my favorite places, and we're going back next year. So I'm super excited. Yeah, I want to come to Dublin. A few years ago, there was Belfast. There was some nervousness around the Northern Ireland part. We Americans are very sensitive about terrorism. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if we should go. I want to go to Giant's Causeway. I want to go to Bushmills. I want to go to Belfast. So much of your countryside we didn't get to visit because we went Dublin to Shannon and just that little guts in between.
And you tend to find a lot of Americans I speak to, whenever they visit Ireland, that's the area they mainly go to. A lot of people tend to forget that, you know, since 1998, we've had one of the world's strongest peace agreements. We are some of the most welcoming people up on the North Coast.
Couldn't have been nicer.
We are some of the most undiscovered people. I mean, you go to Belfast. I mean, the pubs there, it is just incredible. My favorite pub in Belfast has to be Kelly's Cellars, built in 1720. You go in, not one part of the floor is level. So, I mean, you're standing at the bar. You're standing every single direction possible. But the Guinness in there is phenomenal. The Black Bush on the side, excellent. But then you've also got a place like the Duke of York, one of the most famous whiskey bars in Belfast. And whenever you go up to the North Coast, favorite bar in the world, which you did go to, didn't you? The Harbour Bar?
I went to the Harbour Bar.
Harbour Bar. Guy in there called Willie Gregg, one of the most incredible bartenders in the world.
Willie Gregg.
But the Harbour Bar, it is the epitome of the North Coast of Ireland. It's just, you know, people will be drinking everywhere within the bar. I mean, it's about half the size of this room, and yet it'll have maybe about 40 people in it.
Well, we've talked about...
So it's elbow to elbow, literally.
I thought the town was deserted. Yeah. We went to the bars, there's everybody's at.
We've talked about here in the U.S. how we're very particular about, like... So after church on Sundays, we would go to Luby's, right? My grandmother would order the Luann.
There you go.
There would be no drinking, right? We went to Ireland. We walked into Sean's bar on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, first of all, the bar's open on a Sunday. And family, grandparents, parents, children go in, they order fish and chips, they sit down, the grandfather's having a Guinness. That spoke to me on such a primal, peaceful level. It was so zen. Yeah. You know, everything about that just seemed like pure enjoyment of life. Like, it was such a Ireland is one of the best experiences we've ever had.
It's fantastic.
Particularly that moment. So, for example, whenever you're on a Sunday, the sun's going down, the wind's beating on the door, the rain's starting to come in, but you've got the fireplace on, you put the feet up, even somewhere like Bushmills Inn, and you have a glass.
Have you your own pub?
Well, no, the Bushmills Inn, it's actually a little boutique hotel. It's been around for, the building itself is almost 200 years old.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And do you remember the little fireplace at the front?
Outside. Absolutely.
Yeah. Little wee peat fireplace. Two rocking chairs in front of it. You've got a glass of good Bushmills. You've even got a glass of Sexton. I mean, this is less than $30 a bottle. And you can just put your feet up, relax. Well, that's Ireland.
Sure.
So it's fantastic. It really is good. We went there for the Open this year, and a lot of the golfers stayed there at the Bushmills Inn, which is right there by the Bushmills Distillery. It's really fantastic. It's really nice.
Everything
is right by the Causeway. You mentioned the Causeway. Mm-hmm. Sorry. You mentioned the Causeway. The bottle is shaped from some of those causeways, Jack.
Is that where it comes from?
That's where it comes from. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that hexagonal shape, that basically, Giant's Causeway's got about roughly anywhere between 40,000 to 60,000 hexagonal basalt columns. It's considered to be one of the extra wonders of the world.
And for those who don't know what we're talking about, if you just Google Giant's Causeway in Northern Ireland, there's this beautiful rock formation that's natural, and they're all this shape. They're all hexagonal. Hexagonal? Yep, you got me. Yeah. You got me confused.
Hexagonal.
Hexagonal. they're just this really bizarre natural formation of geometric shapes that is, like you said, almost a bucket list item to visit.
And then the reason we shape the bottle like that is that very rock that goes on to make those hexagonal columns. Well, further inland, what's gone out to sea to create that formation, our water and the water that goes in to make the sextant has run over that very rock. So this is a nod to exactly where the sextant comes from, where the water source comes from.
So where does the name come from? I know you mentioned that the guys mining the graves and monitoring potential guys who just had too much to drink. But what's the inspiration? Is just a piece of the Irish culture? You know,
So in Ireland, and this is obviously we're going in a little bit morbid territory, but an Irish wake.
It's charming coming out of your accent.
I know, right?
You could talk about abortions right now. You'll be totally okay.
Smiling, it's great.
But basically, an Irish wake is almost a celebration of someone's life. So whenever someone dies, firstly, you have to close every single curtain in the house for 3 days. But everyone comes in, friends and family that you've never seen for your entire life. Everyone comes together to celebrate that life. So death is very much a big part of Irish culture. It's not something we focus on too much because it's just always been there. But it's a thing that very much brings people together. It's a thing that great Irish whiskey always does. I mean, you know, the fact we're all here together right
now
just showcases the fact this is what Irish whiskey does. And good Irish whiskey really will always make someone have that second glass, that third glass, and let those stories flow and celebrate and toast to that person's life. So that is where a lot of the different styles cross over.
Up until this point, I had seen this. I did not know this was y'all's brand, let alone related to Bushmills.
So basically, the sextant is actually crafted by a lady who works within the maturation area, but this is her product. It's a lady called Alex Thomas. So she's the master blender of sextant, and she decided what was best to create a new style of whiskey.
It reminds me of the
single malt, almost first fill Oloroso sherry cask. So with that boldness, but then that Irish smoothness, you've gained everything. You've sacrificed nothing.
It reminds me of the Black Bush, but a bit more mouthfeel, a bit more bold.
Yeah.
And this is a full size bottle too, right?
So this will be a 750, and then we've also got a liter size as well.
I've always never quite understood how that worked, how you can come up with any bottle shape and it still all be 750.
True. So again, with Alex Thomas, one of the most incredible things about her is that Alex Thomas, she knows what is within the Bushmills warehouse. She knows what is in every single one of our 18 warehouses, and she's in control of everyone who works up in our warehouses. Now, unfortunately, there is going to be some people working in the distillery listening to this podcast right now. So I have to be fairly polite to them because some of them can be, what's the best way to put it? And intimidating as well. Large, large people. Because again, if you're working in a whiskey warehouse, I mean,
Popeye forearms. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the smallest barrels we have are 55 gallon. I mean, and we can
full, go. That's 500, 600 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. And we can go up to barrels that are nearly four times that size.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the size of these people. So the last thing I want to do is...
You want to say something ugly about him?
No, never.
Tell us about Jeff.
That's why he's a marathon.
Not this Jeff,
He's a marathon runner, so he can run fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, run away from them. But basically, Alex in control of everyone. And she gets all these teams work up in the picking squads. And whenever that was realized of what Alex was capable of, what she knew was up there, and how quickly, you know, straight on the ball, Alex wanted to create this style of new whiskey, and this is exactly what it is. So the sextant is its own style. I mean, obviously there is some relationships within Bushmills, but
sure,
the sextant is its own, and this is Alex's creation. And again, Alex is
So you're just you showing love to another family member, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm very proud to call it one of our sisters. And it is, and the whiskey, it stands up. And this is why it's the number one selling single malt in the United States.
Oh, is it really?
Well, Irish single malt.
Irish single malt,
Irish single malt. But again, the whiskey stands up. And one of the best things I've enjoyed having this in is, again, as the weather's starting to change, either a twist or an espresso martini. A sextini, or a wood smoked old fashioned, because that oakiness, because the first fill sherry cask is coming out. If you get something almost like a cedar smoking happening on that, it really complements that woody influence. But since we're talking about single malt now, let's talk about an even bigger family of single malts.
This is your more specific age stated single malt range.
So firstly,
still all extremely affordable too. Like, that's one of the great things I've given you guys credit for is we are in an age, a current age, that every brand is continually climbing in price. There's new brand sourcing, so of course it's going to be naturally more expensive. You guys are not only putting out a great range of NOS, but you're also bringing out a great range of age stated, totally affordable, extremely approachable, consistently available. I mean, what's there to complain about? You guys got everything.
Yeah, and this is why we've stood the test of time. I mean, to give you an example, to prove we've stood the test of time, is that at one stage there was probably about 1,000 distilleries in Ireland. Most illegal, some legal. Now, coming into 1920, there's well over 120, some argue it's 150 whiskey distilleries within Ireland.
1920?
1920 is a very important date, because that is when Prohibition was fully introduced.
And we don't talk about that those days.
Well, to give you an idea of how much this impacted the Irish market had, by 1933, 5th of December 1933, there was only one distillery left open in Ireland, and that was Bushmills.
They all shut down except for Bushmills.
Other whiskey distillery either began closing down, began stopping operations, began just mothballing. What we actually did, we increased production. We expanded our distillery. We knew it couldn't last much longer because, well, there was that many of our Irish brethren within the United States by that stage. And so whenever the 5th of December 1933 came along, we had our own fleet of steamships. And our first one
ready
was called the SS Bushmills, ready to send all those shipments into the United States. So this is how much of a relationship we've had. And this is why I say we have stood the test of time. And we haven't changed when others have. We haven't moved when others have as well. So it is something very, very special about Bushmills. We have stood the test of time.
Was that a segue into the steamship, which is at duty free, the steamship
Bushmills? Well, yes.
Which we don't have here, unfortunately, but.
Well, not here, but again, like, we are trying some of our single malts that you can buy within the United States right now, straight off the liquor shelves. Yeah. But for anyone who's traveling, particularly international, particularly international towards Ireland, which I would encourage. That's probably the best way to go. within those airports, I've actually got four other single malts that are just part of a steamship collection that are only available for duty-free. So we've got number 3 bourbon barrel char. We've got a port pipe. We've got a rum cask. And we've got a sherry cask. So this is, again, showcasing Bushmills is growing.
You get a little bit of everything.
So, yeah.
And so have you guys considered a single barrel program? I don't know of anyone in Ireland doing it currently.
So
it's extremely popular in bourbon. Scotch is starting to dabble in it.
There's a lot of different things on the table right now. We're taking bit by bit by bit. Who knows?
Text somebody.
All right, let's hit the next one here. So this is the 10-year.
So yeah, this is the 10-year. The 10-year is going to be a 2-wood whiskey, minimum 10 years in bourbon, minimum 10 years inside sherry. But it's going to be predominantly bourbon barrel.
So you age separately?
Side by side, simultaneous.
Okay.
I know only at the time of bottling.
That's good.
Then you bring it together. Now, this is actually what I call my summertime whiskey because it is so light. It is so delicate. It is so floral. For me, I know you're calling this winter today.
You're dying.
Yeah.
We have four seasons.
Summer.
Hot, hotter, hottest. Yeah.
But this, whenever it's sunny, whenever it's warm, because this is such a light style of whiskey, it is so delicate. This is the one I'm always going for. This is something as well. And I believe dinner afterwards, there's going to be a lot of oysters there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's one day we were doing a
cold.
Single malt pairing. And I was allowed to create the recipe, what worked, what paired, what didn't. And what I decided to do, and this was advice from Helen, because the way Helen Mulholland, the master blender for Bushmills, The way she loves her 10-year is when it's chilled. So I decided to take this level to the next step. So we put it in the freezer for about 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours.
Got some oysters.
We then got some Northeast Coast oysters, so a little bit smaller, but the flavor is a little more intense.
Yeah, yeah.
Not your gnarly
golf. Golf, you got two on.
Yeah, where it's just like, wow, how am I going to deal with this one?
Sure, sure.
And little Northeast Coast oysters, and we had two servers. One was giving out the oyster, and the second one had the frozen bottle of 10-year and just poured it over.
On the oyster?
On the oysters.
Interesting.
Instead of having to do your vinaigrette, well, you just poured it over, and you just dine, and wow.
Yeah.
Because by freezing it.
Do you do anything with like no horseradish? It's just 10-year-old Irish single malt.
That's all you need.
What is the sauce?
There's a name for it, right?
A little vinegar sauce that comes with the Minyet? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This should replace that with the shallots.
That sounds awesome.
Vinegar mixed together.
It's good? Have you had it?
We're going to try it tonight.
Oh,
so we'll
yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Tonight, yeah.
No. It was the winner of the night.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, but again, because we've frozen it, and because obviously 80 proof alcohol doesn't freeze solid, what you can do is make it that little more viscous. You're going to close off that evaporating alcohol.
Sure.
So as you pour it over, that flavor, that honeyed note that is so evident within here, because you notice your lips.
It's got a compliment, yeah.
And that honeyed note comes out so much more. So, yeah, the 10-year, even though it's a pure single malt, still a whiskey that you can enjoy in separate ways. And remember, all our whiskeys that we have here, there's no right or wrong way to enjoy them.
Is there any Irish whiskey using the term single malt besides you guys?
So Irish whiskey, you have to be very careful about the terminology. So what we produce is a triple distilled single malt. And we're very, very proud to say that in every single bottle.
Yep.
Very proud. So you can see single malt, Irish whiskey, triple distilled. Now, obviously, there is different variants of Irish whiskey coming from different whiskey distilleries. I mean, we're actually now up to 24 whiskey distilleries in Ireland. I mean, the Irish whiskey market is just exploding right now. So there is different distilleries that are using single malt, but they're doing it in different ways, doing it in their way.
Is there the same restriction? So is it all 100% malted barley? What's the... I know like with Scotch at one point, the term single malt Scotch meant 100% barley, but now you can do blended and there'd be other grains used.
So single malt in terms of the definition has to be a single distillery coming from a single place. So everything's kept under one roof. So instead of, if you got two single malts that were produced at two different distilleries and brought them together, that's not single malt anymore. So single malt means it's all coming from the one roof, the one house, the one site. So you've got pure consistency, purity.
It doesn't have to be barley?
To be single malt, yes, it has to be 100% malted barley. The moment you
I try to cue up a little FYIs for the newer drinkers. Yeah.
So basically, this is why the Sexton is an excellent entry single malt because of the cost point. It's a single malt that anyone can try. You don't have to be intimidated by a price to try great Irish whiskey, great single malt Irish whiskey. And this is why the Sexton makes so much sense. Obviously, as we go up in age, go up in different types, different variants, this is where it changes. This is where as soon as you start to understand what Irish whiskey is, good Irish whiskey is, well, we can always cater for that little more of a refined palate.
Sure.
For a palate that understands what they're starting to look out for. And this is where I think it'd be a great time to even try our 16-year-old.
Let's do it.
So what we've got right now is our 16-year-old single malt. So anyone who is a fan of the Bushmills range, particularly knows the fact that we do produce triple distilled single malt. This is a whiskey that will win over all hearts, all minds. Anyone who's into their deep peated scotches, this will still win their hearts and minds. This is the one that gives the wow factor. So the 16-year-old is what we call a three-wood whiskey. It's a minimum 16 years in bourbon. It's a minimum 16 years inside sherry. And we then take those two minimum 16-year-old whiskies out, marry them together, and then we finish them for at least 6 months inside port wine pipes.
Port wine pipes.
Ruby port wine.
What's that, pipes, 550 liters, 550 liters, 500 liters?
Well, no, right now modern port pipes are back down to 200 liters.
Oh, wow.
So the same capacity as bourbon barrels, but obviously the term pipes comes from the older way that they were produced. Now, obviously you can see straight away the color.
It's intense.
That ruby red is coming through. Now, the nose of the 16, well, this is where it becomes really quite special. The nose of the 16.
You don't use any peat at all, right? But there's a phenolic note to this. There's like a very dry, wine heaviness that comes on the finish here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, again, that's going to be that port influence. And remember the sherry cask in there for a minimum 16 years. So the, combining those two different levels, this is where that note will probably start to come through. Now, the palate is probably one of the most phenomenal things, because as soon as you take a little sip, you just notice that explosion of flavor. Mm. Caramelized fruit, toasted wood, toasted nut, almond as that keeps rolling down through the throat. And then the best thing happens, because now the body comes in. But the best thing happens now is this little afterglow. It's where the dark summer fruits, dark summer berries just
come in. May start sweating.
Oh, yeah. Well, weirdly, this has put me at ease right now. We should have started at
You're
this.
Sweating now.
Yeah,
you're
I know, right now. If he drinks that, it's going to be an airplane all over. You know what I mean?
Have any cigars?
So, yeah, weirdly, the best place in the world for me to enjoy this is not even in the distillery. It's not even in Ireland. It's just over in the West Coast. It's in a bar called the Occidental in San Francisco. And this bar, they have got a style of cigar that just perfectly complements this 16-year-old. Even when I was doing an event down in Miami, probably Cigar City, if you wish, within the United States.
Yeah. Mecca, yeah.
Well, I raised a few eyebrows before anyone tried it, that this is the perfect complement to your cigar. After we did the tasting, everyone came up, because every flavor is so intense, but that berry sweetness is so distinctive. Well, that's always going to shine through. That's never going to get overpowered.
So I'm in 100% agreement that as we progress through these longer times in these old, I would say wine barrels, right? Yeah. Whether it's sherry or port, what's coming next? What's coming down the pipeline that you can talk about, if you can talk about any of that? Because this is fantastic. The 16, if you remember at the event last week, you asked me, if I had to choose a bottle to take home, what bottle would it be? And I asked for the 16.
You did.
And we have, for Halloween, as a family, we drank a lot of it. We trick-or-treat through the neighborhood. Yeah. Sometimes you need to cool off. Yeah. Right. So we were very much a big supporter, and I smoked a cigar with it. So for those who were here in Houston last week, the weather was amazing for Halloween. Yeah, so when you're great. Walking through and it's 60 degrees outside, you've got a glass full of 16-year-old Irish single malt and a nice cigar from Stogie's here in Houston. It was just like the perfect evening. I also had a do you know Matthew Torregrossa?
Yeah, we know Matt. Come on.
Shot him out.
We know him. I know.
Come on. Stop dropping names.
Sorry.
You know, all of us were. We're all Republic beverage people, by the way.
Okay.
We were all there for,
I didn't know. I knew Dox was, but I didn't know Matthew was.
Yeah, all of us. Yeah, Matt was too.
Ray worked there for 46 years, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Every day.
Started when I was.
You guys know Bob Shade and
Bob, real great. Yeah.
Bob Shada.
You know, the funny thing is, what I call him is Bob Shada. On my Bluetooth.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Bob Shada. Oh. Yeah.
Well, on the
Bob's a good friend of ours. Yeah, he's real good. Yeah.
Bob Shade. What's the iPhone?
Jamie Bell. And
what's the name of the iPhone?
Got them all. We're all Republic members.
Danielle Story and the whole Nicholas Talamantes.
Absolutely.
So we
Desi, I talked to you today.
Every time I walk into Stogie's, and I try to go in there at least once a week, no matter. It'll be random. It'll be like Thursday at 10 p.m. Yeah. I'll do an interview with like a comic, and it'll be like midnight. Matthew Torregrossa is there. Like, he's always there. He's always got a cigar in his mouth, and he's always drinking bourbon. So
you shouldn't say that. I might get him in trouble.
Well, no, he's doing invoices or something. You know, he's doing expense reports. But I'm such a huge Matthew fan.
Bird Dog has a
Stogie's
bourbon.
Fan.
No, I'm kidding.
Calumet's got the Black Rack. I'm actually a fan of the Black Rack. But anyway, so what's coming down the pipeline for the Bushmills that you can talk about? Is there something that maybe is on the Cola website that I can just go look and be like, oh.
Okay. So in terms of Cola. Cola. Yeah. Okay. So obviously, we'd bring in whiskeys that we had at a very special event. If you check the Cola website.
I'm looking now. Go ahead.
So there was an 11-year crystal malt.
Yes.
That was inside former bourbon barrels.
Loved it.
There was a former 18-year-old Bordeaux red wine cask.
I always find those particularly fascinating. It's bright. It's bright red. It's bright. The wine influence on the Bordeaux. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but it's more of a kind of a bright red apple note as opposed to a deep dried fruit that you get from like the, you know what I mean? Like it's more of a brighter red fruit note than what else?
And that red wine, Bordeaux red, that's part of the first grow series.
First growth, yeah.
So that'll give you an idea of what to expect. And then obviously we've got a cognac cask as well. Obviously in the airports, we have got the Caribbean rum cask.
Yep.
We're also using Dominican Republic rum cask.
I didn't know that.
And I think that is all I can say right now.
There's nothing on the Cola website, by the way. In the last 2 years, there hasn't been a. May not be out yet.
Double secret probation, like Animal House. double.
So
we're on right now.
Basically, just keep your eyes on Bushmills. But remember, we've got 411 years of experience.
Yeah.
We've got 18 warehouses. We've got over 300,000 barrels. There is a lot of fun and interesting things in there. I mean, one of the things I miss most by working in the distillery was I could talk to the coopers. I could go up to the warehouses. I could see some of the things that were up there.
Just craziness. Which,
yeah. I mean, this is why I'm smiling. I'm smiling so much now because there is so much up there that is going to see the light of day at some stage. But this is why I keep telling everyone, keep your eyes on Bushmills.
Okay, because so if you can't answer, just look at me. Don't react.
Mm-hmm. Blink once.
Blink once if yes. Blink twice if yes. So Brooklady, I had Alan Logan. He was the distillery manager for Brooklady here from Scotland. And I believe we were talking about what they're working on. There's this new wave of experimentation that's happening where people – distilleries overseas are aging and distilling traditionally not single malt made with barley. They'll have I think Brooklady's got a rye that's aging. And he said it's the first rye out of Isla in X amount of years, right? And then I talked to Brendan McCarron from Glenmorangie, and he had said, no, there's actually. There's a few distilleries that are. Is there anything at Bushmills currently aging that's not?
That's not standard.
Sure, such. That's a good question.
So basically, I think the
yes,
one
no,
that
maybe so.
Well, crystal malt.
Yeah.
And the crystal malt that we created for the 400-year anniversary. That's something to keep your eyes on, because I don't even know what wood we're maturing that all in. So there's even a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things that are kept so secret that nobody knows.
That's so exciting.
So this is why it's a good time to be excited about Bushmills.
Okay, so we only have
007. Back on the bandwagon.
We have 007 of Irish whiskey.
We have 5 minutes left. Let's we got time for two more?
Yeah, 21. Two
more. 21 and 12.
We have to through 21. You do. Absolutely.
Excellent. So.
Well, yeah, 21's got all kinds of stuff going on.
So the 21 year is, it's a whiskey that doesn't behave like a whiskey. There's going to be a minimum 21 years inside bourbon, a minimum 21 years inside sherry. We then take those two minimum 21-year-old whiskies together, and we finish them for a minimum 2 years inside Madeira wine drums. Now, the reason I keep saying minimum is that we bottle everything at 80 proof, and we chill filter everything here. Now, to do that, we guarantee a consistency. We guarantee if it tastes the same today, it'll taste the same tomorrow. In 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, even on your deathbed, it'll always taste the same. But to get that same taste, we have to use whiskey barrels of different age. We have to use whiskey barrels from different warehouses, different areas within the warehouse. So as a result, there could be a lot more of an older whiskey in here, sometimes even significantly older.
How old are we talking?
More than 21.
Well, talk about age statement real quick. We have our age statement on here. Is there some talk about some age statement coming off some of the single malts?
Oh, good question.
So for example, the Acacia Wood that we have coming out of the distillery, there's no age statement in that. The steamship range that we have in the duty-free market, There's no age statement in that. So, yes, that is becoming a little bit more of a part of our family. What that means for the United States, again, only time will tell. This is, again, it's a very, very exciting time to be part of Bushmills, not even to be part of the family, but even as a consumer, because things are changing. I mean, there's times even I'm surprised by what's happening. But the 21 year, we're in this age category of where whiskey's mellowed out, becomes subtle, becomes almost like a sleeping giant. Because on the nose, it's almost impossible to pick out a single specific aroma. You know, there's so much happening there.
There's a lot happening in here, especially on the finish. I'm trying,
you can't put your finger on
it. I can't put my finger on the finish.
There's so much. And this, this is the reason why I say this is a whiskey. The only way to discover it is time. So this is the whiskey that I always say, if you're in the hotel lobby and you're waiting, you know, you've got about 30 minutes, you know, no one's going to bother you. You sit back in one of the nice comfy chairs. You see, for about those 30 minutes, you take one glass, and for as long as you take with it, you're going to keep discovering something different with every nose, every sip.
It's not quite bourbon. It's not quite sherry. That finish is something unique, and I can't quite put my finger on it.
And you'll even notice that finish doesn't stop in the chest. It's going the whole way down.
No, and it's really comfy. It's really, it's not abrasive at all.
No.
Yeah.
I don't like to say the word smooth. I give smooth a hard time, but it's...
It glides across
everything. Yes, glide. That's a great descriptor. Yeah.
So, like, one of the best things, like, whenever you take a little sip, normally we talk about taste. It's texture, and the thing I love about this is that whenever you take a little sip, it goes sweet then dry, back to sweet, back to dry, and this sweet dry interplay bounces the whole way along.
But there's so many whiskeys you talked about that age themselves for 21 years and then 6 months in another wood.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the case here. 21 years, you know?
Yeah.
You mellow those together, and that's where the complexity comes from. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and again, being in the era, what's the price point of, say, the 10, the 16, the 21?
10's about $69 right there. 16 would be right there around $89, and then the 21-year-old, which we have over there, I think, be like $219 right there. So, yeah. In that range, not only price whatsoever, considering what you're getting right there.
Oh, 100%.
You know, not whatsoever, each very, very reasonable. There's no doubt about it,
I mean, 16 years old for under $100 is just absurd.
I know, it really is. It really is.
Going back to that two-year-old for $150.
So, yeah.
You say this one here, like, it's 21 years. He said Helen, our master blender, here's a fascinating fact I don't think you ever mentioned. She doesn't drink.
Yeah.
It's all done by nose.
Yeah.
It's everything.
Which is unbelievable.
By nose, by knowledge. And that's the big thing about Bushmills is that we don't learn by your qualifications. You have to learn the Bushmills way. You have to learn from what happened to the predecessor and the predecessor before that and the predecessor before that again. So everything's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. And as these generations of master blender, master distillers to the next generation, this is the big difference.
Yeah,
I had a dinner or a lunch with John Campbell from Laphroaig, and he said, you know, it's interesting when it comes to Ireland and Scotland versus America, we're very much about the up-and-coming new ideas and thought process of a younger generation. But in reality, when it comes to Ireland and Scotland, we figured this stuff out years ago.
Yeah.
You guys are still trying to figure stuff out. We already figured it out hundreds of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
He said, the only thing we do now when I get the job of master distiller for Laphroaig is just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
I mean, you can play with wood. You can play like, you know, they said when they do the Karchus release, they will, you know, do a wet barrel and a dry barrel version of a new finish. Let's say a Madeira finish. They did one with Marsala once. He said, you try it with a dry barrel. You try it with a wet barrel. Let it age, taste it, decide, is this usable? Can we do this? If not, it was a waste of an experiment. Yeah. And it was. They couldn't do it with the Marsala, but they did it with the Madeira, and it was fantastic. And it was – so it's. He said, the only thing I have to do to keep my job is don't screw up something that was perfected literally five generations ago. And when you talk about a company that has been doing this since 1608, it's like – hey, I don't even need to taste it.
I know, right?
I'll smell it. Well, it's good. This is great. Yeah.
Helen doesn't even drink. That doesn't matter because, you know, we have, what, 5 senses on our tongue? But your nose, you can train it for 30, 40, 50 senses. So you get a lot more from your nose than you do your tongue. Your palate,
sure.
So to speak, which is fantastic.
So since we're coming to the end,
yes,
what we have
special treat.
Yeah, it was a special treat. So this is
you're welcome, Chris.
Put a little bit behind the ears.
I'm excited.
Right,
I'm excited. I'm excited.
My house.
So this is our distillery reserve.
And by the way, we hate Jack's accent with the ladies. By the way,
oh dude, he's got to be crushing. You're not married or dating reason. Anybody.
You have.
I don't know why.
No. Dude,
it shouldn't work.
I'm already just friendly.
Don't. Just say y'all. Stop.
Okay.
Jack Ferris.
He doesn't need any more.
He really does. Yeah. He really loves
Texas. And he loves Texas.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Texas keeps playing.
Yeah. We have a lot of very independent women here.
It's one hell of a state in Houston. Well, these gentlemen here.
How old are you, Jack? 27 years old. You've got that accent and a full head of hair.
16.
You're killing it, bro.
Yeah, I know. So basically, this is a whiskey that we only keep at our distillery. It's available nowhere else in the world, only unless you walk through the gates of the distillery and get down to the distillery.
Or you have a podcast on ESPN.
Well, even I was surprised today whenever this appeared out of the the flatbed, out of one of the trucks. It was like, how did this get here? So this is just how special it is.
Thanks, Toby.
If I can even be surprised, this shows you just how special this is. So I think it's time to... Toast.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks so much for coming on,
guys.
You don't want my toast,
Jack. What's your toast?
So, I'll say, here's to a long life and a merry one.
Yep.
A quick death and an easy one. A pretty girl and an honest one. A Bushmills and another one.
Another one.
Cheers.
Absolutely.